Good morning. The Lord be with you. We welcome you into God's house on this 12th Sunday after Pentecost. We're in the ninth sermon of a 10-part sermon series focused on a long obedience in the same direction. Today, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that we have drive-through communion. Is that what we call it? Drive-through communion, parking lot communion, following today's 10:30 service. So at 11:30 till noon, there is communion available in a drive-through fashion. What direction is that? The west side of our church. Also today, I'd like to draw your attention to a little communion registration card in your pews. They are in your pew racks. And this is our intention that when you do come forward for communion, that we would ask you to fill one in and hand it to an elder on your way up. Also, you'll see there, if you would like a pastor to call on you, that there is a place there for you to make that happen. So please understand, or try to be aware of those little cards. Today, at the end of the service, we will be hearing a brief message from the chairman of our call committee, Mr. Bob Lau, who will be explaining the process that we're in as we move towards calling a new pastor here at St. Paul Lutheran. Our opening hymn is 506. As we focus today on the community and on what a flourishing Christian community looks like and sounds like, glory be to God the Father, 506. As you are able, please rise. Our liturgy today is on page 151. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Who is faithful and just and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Your psalmody today is printed in the bulletin, Psalm 133. We read responsively as printed in your bulletin. Behold how good and pleasant it is. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory. Victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join Him of all creation. Blessing, honor, glory be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen.
slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. Is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ, and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. Our lessons for today invite us to think about what the local congregation will look like as we consider each of us to be a member of the priesthood of all believers. The first lesson is in Exodus chapter 29. Now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. Take one bull of the herd and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers smeared with oil. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket, and bring the bull and the two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put coats on them, and you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them, and the priesthood shall be theirs by a statute forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Our second reading shows us what New Testament life together can look like. Romans chapter 12. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As you are able, please rise.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5.
Pray to you, O Lord.
The words of Jesus, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for special music, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Thank you so much for that special music, How Deep the Father's Love. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is Psalm 133 and all the lessons just read. Reading again a different translation of Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant is it. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, in previous sermons, we have focused on pilgrimage, what it means to set our hearts on the long haul instead of sort of seeing ourselves as tourists. Secondly, we focused on repentance every day admitting our shortcomings to God and to one another. Third, providence, the belief that God works everything out for the good of those who love him in time. Number four, the value of worshiping each week, the structure that that worshiping gives to us. Fifthly, we focused on servanthood, the idea of staying down low and serving and looking for opportunities to be helpful to each other. The sixth sermon was distinctively Christian joy. That's very different from the joy that the world can give us. A couple of weeks ago, we focused on a proper view of work, seeing everything that we do as we live out our vocations as a chance to honor Christ. And the eighth sermon was focused on perseverance or sticking to marriage, sticking to family relationships, sticking to congregational life, persevering through thick and thin. Today, a focus on community and what it looks like and what it sounds like and what it feels like when congregational members are getting along and are focused on the mission that is in front of them. Getting along in such a way that Christ Jesus gets honored. By nature, brothers and sisters do not get along in perfect fashion. You knew that before you came here today. There's nothing new about siblings arguing and fighting and holding grudges and worse. Three stories in Genesis come to mind. Number one, Cain and Abel, the very first two brothers that existed. Cain hating his brother, striking dead his brother Abel. The opposite of harmony. Joseph's brothers resenting their father's favoritism and selling him into slavery. Jacob and his mother Rebecca conniving and successfully tricking his brother Esau out of his inheritance as the oldest brother. We've all heard modern day stories of family life not going well. I can remember my two sisters, who are lovely Christian ladies these days, drawing a line in a room they shared, insisting that the other one not cross over the line. Stories of children writing notes like, "I hate mom," or "No girls allowed in my room," posting them on their doors. Stories of older siblings declaring the younger ones to be spoiled rotten. Stories of parents showing favoritism. Stories of selfishness, bitterness, competitiveness, personality differences, and so much more. Stories of adults angry about how their parents' inheritance was divided. Stories of families where hurt feelings and harsh words escalate into lifelong rivalry and immature behavior and embarrassing conflicts and more. Am I depressing you, Dallas? So also, are our church families not exempt from baptized believers and not getting along? I remember a story about a congregation I served years ago, and this happened before I got there, but it was a dual parish, and they were arguing about what time church service would start at the late service. And there was an argument between, is it going to start at 10:30 or 11 o'clock? And there was a whole big fashioned voters meeting having it out. And at least according to legend, one of the older fellas might have been a German Lutheran kind of a guy, and he argued for the 10:30 time, and he culminated his little spiel with, "If I can't have my dinner at noon, I don't want it." So that made itself into the voters' minutes, and we heard about it for a long time. Tom Rayner from Outreach.com lists what he thinks are the top five reasons for congregational conflict. The first one might surprise you. It was a disagreement about what time church would start. A second
a second reason for congregational conflict was disagreement on how to deal with a pastor or a staff member's behaviors or decisions. Third, disagreement about the length of worship. Fourth, a lack of clarity regarding who makes what decisions. And fifthly, worship style. Worship style. Today we learn from Psalm 133 two lessons about what will help congregational life flourish. Lesson number one is that a community of faith flourishes when we see each other as God's anointed. And secondly, we will flourish when we expect God to be refreshing each other on a daily basis. Lesson number one is a congregation will flourish when we see each other as God's anointed people. When we see each other as brothers and sisters baptized, anointed with the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. The psalmist compares brothers and sisters in the faith getting along to, it's like costly oil, costly anointing oil flowing down the head and the beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. Throughout Scripture, oil is a symbol of God's presence. It is a symbol of the Spirit of God. Listen to what Eugene Peterson says about the process of anointing a high priest with oil. Quote, oil glistens. It picks up the warmth of sunlight. It perfumes the person. There is a quality of warmth and ease in God's community which contrasts with the icy coldness and hard surfaces of people who jostle each other in mobs and crowds. End of quote. Lutherans believe, confess, and teach the priesthood of all believers. In distinction from the office of pastor, we have the office of priest, which all Christians hold by virtue of their baptism into the family. Moses writes in Exodus 19 that the people of God are to God a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. 1 Peter 2 language is that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, and that our mission is to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. Dear friends, listen carefully. As New Testament believers, we are priests in the sense that we have direct access to our Father in heaven by virtue of the bloody, sacrificial death of Jesus. We are priests in the sense that we are set apart, each one of us set apart to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved first in Christ, as we serve in response to Christ serving us at the cross. Jesus said it this way, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If you have love, if you have kindness and patience and self-control for one another. Just imagine the respect the Old Testament priests would receive as people saw him coming. They saw him coming as the anointed one of God. They saw him coming with oil flowing down his head, down his beard, spilling over onto his collar. They saw him as a man of God who mediated and interceded and sacrificed on their behalf before Almighty God. They held him in reverence and were grateful to God for the office he held. Doesn't mean they appreciated his character, but they appreciated the office that he held. Now imagine congregational life where brothers and sisters in the faith see each other as the anointed people of God, where every time we see each other coming, we see a baptized believer whose sins have been forgiven and who has been set apart for holy purposes, where we see each other coming as redeemed sinners for whom Christ has suffered, for whom Christ has died, for whom Christ has risen, and for whom Christ is coming back again, where we see each other as brothers and sisters, priests, worthy of respect and kindness. Our life together will flourish as often as we represent Christ to each other. It will flourish as often as we see each other as anointed with the Spirit of God. It will flourish as often as we speak truth in kindness to each other, as often as we look for the best in each other, as often as we speak both the warnings and the promises of God to each other with eternity in mind. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city full of folks who don't always see eye to eye, but they need each other. They need each other if they are going to be lifting high the cross of their Savior. In good times, they don't always pay attention to each other. But as soon as illness and death knock at the door, together they run for refuge and for strength to their God. Often they are delighted with one another. Occasionally they rub each other the wrong way. But always, always, the Word of God is like a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their pathway. Some days they fall into thinking too highly of themselves. Other days they stumble into thinking that their gifts and abilities don't really matter. But as often as they are still and hear God's word, as often as they eat and drink at the table of their Lord, they get along with each other. They set aside differences so that the gospel can go forward. Their controversies get settled. Their wounds have a way of healing. And their unity is a blessing to whoever is watching them. Lesson number two is that a community of faith flourishes when we expect God to be refreshing each other on a daily basis, when we expect God to be doing new things in our hearts. The psalmist wrote that the church is like the dew of Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessings and ordains eternal life. In that part of the world, Hermon is the highest mountain. It rises to a height of over 9,000 feet in the Lebanon range north of Israel. I'm told that the morning dew is particularly heavy at such altitudes. Peterson writes that in this psalm, the morning dew symbolizes a sense of morning freshness, a feeling of fertility, a clean anticipation of growth. Isaiah says it this way, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Peterson suggests, Eugene Peterson, in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, suggests that when we expect God to be working stronger and stronger faith in each other's hearts, he says, we refuse to label the others as one thing or another. We refuse to predict our brother's behavior, our sister's growth. Each person in the community is unique. Each is specially loved and particularly led by the Spirit of God. Dear friends in Christ, imagine how God will bless us as often as we view each other with an expectation that God is doing something new, as often as we are curious about each other's stories, as often as we are interested in learning new things about each other, as often as we explore deeper friendships, as often as we refuse to be bored with the way things are and are enthusiastic about what God may be doing. I heard a friend of mine told me a story recently. He was not wearing his mask, and he went into a situation where somebody he didn't know said to him, because he wasn't wearing a mask, he said, I suppose you think you're special, huh? He said, well, what do you mean? But you're not wearing a mask. I suppose you think you're special. And my friend, who's pretty quick-witted, said, well, I am special to my mom. And to God. And they carried on their conversation. And I don't want to get into the whole wearing a mask, but my point is that We are special in the sight of God, and we each have unique abilities and perspectives to bring into the family of God. This expectation that God would be doing new things in our midst. One of my wife's particular strengths is doing new and surprising things in our life together. She specializes in making our home a beautiful and enjoyable place to live. She occasionally and sometimes quite often purchases new things on Amazon.com and puts them up on our walls. And on the other hand, one of my particular weaknesses is not paying attention to the new things that are happening in our house. I don't always appreciate the creative ways that she is decorating our residence. I fail. Any women here know men like that, that don't always pay attention? Raise your hand. One, two, three or four hands. Oh, they're going up. They're going up. Yeah, men aren't famous for being attentive. And so recently, Debbie and I were on this subject of wall hangings and decorative items in our living room area, and she wondered if I could name no less than 7 new items that were hanging on our walls in our living area. And she took me on a little tour of the living area, and I'm ashamed to admit that there were items she had purchased months ago and I hadn't noticed. It's easy to fall into this mindset that doesn't appreciate the little things and the new things that are going on in people's hearts and minds. It's easy to stumble into a self-centeredness that over the course of time wounds the hearts of family members and also in the church. As a result, our life together can become routine. Our expectations can go low, and boredom and worse sets in. The last line of our psalm today concludes that the good and delightful life together is where God commands the blessing and he ordains eternal life. In this line, we have just a hint of the rousing good fellowship we possess by faith in Christ. Here on earth, Paul pictures the flourishing congregational life as a place where brothers and sisters in the faith are joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, generous with those in need, famous for hospitality. Peterson pictures the fellowship in heaven as a place where relationships are warm and expectations are fresh. Peterson invites you to imagine the friends you enjoy being with most. Think about the companions who evoke your deepest joy. Think about your most stimulating relationships and your most delightful experiences and the people with whom you feel completely alive. And that, Peterson says, is a hint of heaven. In heaven, God commands the blessing. The kingdom of God is like parents who fix their eyes on Jesus by focusing their attention on getting their children baptized and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's like grandparents who fix their eyes on Jesus by caring deeply about the Sunday school and the confirmation classes and the divine services and the fellowship opportunities and the outreach efforts of their beloved home church. It's like single people who fix their eyes on Jesus by focusing on serving and giving and living out their vocations in a way that attracts others to Christ. Living out their vocations in a way that attracts other people to Jesus. It's like brothers and sisters who have all kinds of squabbles, all kinds of differences, all kinds of misunderstandings. They make all kinds of mistakes, but at the end of the day, they rest in the arms of a God who specializes in new beginnings and second chances. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters practice a long obedience in the same direction. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. Today we remind you that the offering plates are placed at both ends of the church, and we thank you for your support for all that God is doing in this place. We speak the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we sing our next hymn, The Lamb, number 547.
Prayer.
We pray today for all people that they may have faith in Christ and heed the voice of God calling by his word. We pray for the church that the people of God may pursue righteousness with peace and joy in their hearts. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our president, our Congress, our governor, and all civic leaders in their pursuit of peace and unity, for all judges and magistrates in their pursuit of justice with mercy. We pray for those who protect us from violence and preserve order here and everywhere. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all noble professions and for the flourishing of the arts and music, for favorable weather and the fruits of the earth, for those unemployed, the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and all people in need. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those bent low in grief, the family of Dustin Silberud, the family of Jackie Baumgard, the family of Larry Bishop. Praying, O Lord, that these families would know the certainty and the joy of your promise of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for so much prosperity and so much that is good and right in our lives. We thank you for good health that so many of us enjoy. In the midst of that, we pray for brothers and sisters who are in hospice, including Jolaine, including those recently hospitalized, including Cassidy, who's now home. We pray for Eddie, Lauren, Margaret, Duane, and Gary. We pray for Thomas, Ken, and Jerry. We pray for Eva, Charles, Marcia, Brian, and all that we name in our hearts, for those undergoing treatment, for those facing surgery, for those recovering from surgery, that you would heal according to your will, and that you would help us in time of pandemic and in time of illness, that we would trust in your providence, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those missionaries supported by our Waseca circuit, including Reverend Nauman in Sri Lanka, including Reverend Stephen Oliver in Taiwan, including John and Jen Wolf in Kenya. Help them to be safe, and we pray that it would be all about you, Jesus, and your cross being lifted high. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our call committee as they lead us through the call process, that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of the triune God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Now, normally I would invite you to remain seated for our closing song, but today our closing hymn is Stand Up for Jesus, so I'm going to ask you to stand up. It is number 660.
Till
and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Stand forth in mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Let all His faithful serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. The din of battle, the next, the victor's song. The soldiers overcoming, their crown of life shall see. And with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Amen.
You may be seated. It's a privilege to call forward Bob Lau, chairman of our call committee, to keep us informed about the call process. So far, it's been a delight to be working with Bob Lau, but we're early in the process.
As long as they keep me on the lectern side, don't move me over there. So we received the packet from the district as far as the call process. I guess I just want to make sure that you all know who the committee members are. So it's everyone that's in the Board of Elders, and I'm going to name them. It would be Dick Arnold, Craig Delling, Kent DeLong, Jerry Flogstead, Kevin Froslin, Bob Ramehill, Jim Weifels, and myself, and also the church president congregation, Mark Pearson, and the vice president, Eric Schwartz, are also on that committee. How we're going to work it is the Board of Elders will have their normal meeting the first Tuesday of every month to go over normal church business. That meeting can include Pastor Griffin for normal church business. The call committee meetings will be weekly. I don't even think maybe some of our committee members know that yet, but they're going to be weekly. And Pastor Griffin can't be included in those meetings because he can't give us any direction or have any influence over how we move forward in the call process. Pastor Griffin also cannot receive or accept a call from our congregation. But Pastor Griffin has agreed to stay with our congregation until a new pastor is found. The first thing is there will be a voters meeting on Sunday, September 27th, and that will be to decide whether we're going to receive or extend a call to the field or to the seminary. And I just want to explain so you understand what that means. A call from the field is a pastor that's serving the church within the Missouri Synod. A call from the seminary is where we would call a graduate from the seminary of the Missouri Synod. So prior to the voters meeting, on September 27th, the call committee will be gathering information from the steering committee, the Revitalization Task Force. They've been doing a lot of work prior to us going through the call process, and we'll be getting a lot of information from them on all the forms that we have to fill out. What we're going to try and do is, 1 week before we would have the voters meeting on Sunday, September 20th, the call committee is going to give a recommendation to the congregation as far as what the call committee feels that they would like to recommend as far as calling from the field or from the seminary. So that'll give you approximately a week before the voters meeting to think about the recommendation that we have made. And then on the 27th, prior to the voters meeting, we're going to give you the final decision that the call committee would make in reference to the voters as far as whether we would recommend calling from the field or calling from the seminary. After that meeting, there is about a 2 or 3 week period where the congregation can make do a nomination of someone that they would know that's a pastor within the Missouri Synod that they feel would be someone good to come to our congregation. Then that information goes to the district, and then the district would decide if they would be a person that would be a good fit for our congregation, along with all the other names that will be brought to the call committee as far as eventually getting a new pastor. We'd just like to hear from the congregation as far as pros and cons, how you feel about calling from the field or the seminary. The call committee wants to be transparent. We just want to let you know what's going on, so I'll be getting up before you with updates as we move forward, so you know what we are doing while we are going through the call process. So that's everything I have for today.